General instructions. You will have 30 seconds to read the questions before each task. Every recording will be played twice, with a short pause in between. You will have 30 seconds to revise your answers after the second time the recording is played. A single beep will mark the beginning of the complete listening comprehension exercise. A double beep will mark the end of the complete listening comprehension exercise. Task 1. Read headings B to I carefully and listen to the recordings. In block capitals, write the letter of the heading which goes with each recording in the space provided, as an example zero. There is one extra heading which does not go with any of the recordings. Answers must be based exclusively on the information in the recording. Now you have some time to read the information below.
Example 0.
White Hart Lane isn't your traditional landmark. It's not particularly pretty, nor is it in a particularly pretty setting. Far from it, in a way, it looks like a neat rectangle. From up close, it has a shabby and irregular feel. But that's why I like it. The stadium is a journey. A journey that began with a group of boys from All Hallows Church deciding to set up a football team back in 1899. Ever since then, the ground has grown organically around them.
Task 2. Read the notes below and listen carefully to the recordings in the spaces provided. Complete the information required with no more than four words. Gap zero is given as an example. Answers must be based exclusively on the information in the recording. Now you have some time to read the information below.
In the workplace, something like 2 million people a year are exposed to the potential for going deaf from loud machines or loud equipment. Something like 5 million are exposed to machines that vibrate or tools that vibrate, and therefore the potential for long-term illness. We've worked with the Musicians Union in preparing guidance that is sensible, and gives people the right kind of tools to use to protect their hearing. And what we're saying to people that work in factories, the employers and the employees, is if you look at what you're doing, can you buy a quieter machine? If you can't buy a quieter machine, can you put a machine in a box to make the noise contained? And if you can't do that, then you think about providing people with hearing protection. And you give people training and supervision to understand the risks to their health. Vibration comes from things like hand tools. In the construction industry, people use drills, they'll use equipment that vibrates. And over time, if you're exposed to a lot of vibration, you'll lose a sense of feeling in the fingertip. And you get something we call vibration white finger. It doesn't sound very bad, you know, a vibration white finger, but what happens in reality is you lose the sense of feeling and touch. You get tingling and numbness in the fingers. Risk assessment is important, but it's not the end in itself. What we want people to do is control the exposure. That's the most important thing.
In this episode, we're going to look at the ways you can avoid slipping, tripping, and falling in your workplace. In Canada, some 60,000 workers fall and get injured every year. Falls represent about 15% of the time loss injuries accepted by our Workers' Compensation Board or Commissions. While falls from ladders, scaffolding, and other heights are a significant safety concern, statistics show that 60% of falls actually happen from ground level, caused by slips and trips. The encouraging news is that slips, trips, and falls are easily preventable, often by something as simple as good housekeeping. Clean all spills immediately. Keep walkways free of obstacles or clutter. To avoid tripping on anything that could be in your way, secure mats, rugs, and carpets that don't lay flat, and always close file cabinets or storage drawers. Keep working areas and walkways well lit. Replace used light bulbs and faulty switches to ensure things are well lit. Common sense rules such as these can keep your workers safe and out of the hospital. Specialty flooring and footwear are the next level of protection against slips and trips. They make it easier to walk on sure footing by increasing comfort and support and by making the walking surface less slippery. Increased safety awareness through special training on safe walking and safe falling techniques is also helpful, but will never be fully effective
without good housekeeping in place.
Now listen again. Task 3. Read the statements carefully. Read the statements carefully and listen to the recording. Choose the option A, B, or C that best completes each statement. Mark the correct option in the space provided. As in example zero. Only one option is correct. Answers must be based exclusively on the information in the recording. Now you have some time to read the information below.
For most of us, commuting is like death and taxes. It's inescapable and hated. But over the next few weeks, we're going to bring you stories about how some communities are trying to improve people's commutes, even how people are making their own commutes more bearable, even, dare I say, enjoyable. And for a preview, we'll turn first now to NPR transportation reporter David Shaper. David, you're at one of the country's oldest transit systems. That's Chicago's famous L.
That's right, Renee. I'm watching trains that are rumbling by me here on the L platform that I'm sitting on that are just packed with passengers heading towards downtown. I'm also seeing an interesting trend in that there are an increasing number of commuters riding the rails in the reverse direction. There are more young professionals who want to live in the city and enjoy city life, but have jobs in the suburbs. For years, the only way to get to those jobs was to drive, and that's made traffic congestion on the reverse commute and from suburb to suburb often worse than the traffic commuting into the city.
Okay, well, one of the stories you'll be doing, David Shaper, thanks very much, and we turn now to our correspondent, Kathy Lohr, who is in Atlanta. And Kathy, you will be reporting on something known as the last mile. Tell us what that is.
Hi, Renee. That is something that's referred to when you get off of your public transportation. How do you make it to your final destination? So, and in this case, in Atlanta, they're building a streetcar line that they think will help people take them to restaurants, shops, historic sites, their jobs. So I'm standing on Auburn Avenue, which is not far from the Martin Luther King National Historic Site, and this is where the steel tracks are being laid right now on this line. And it's a very noisy and dusty place. Basically, a place that people are trying to avoid until this gets finished next spring.
Thanks, Kathy. Today's story is coming from my colleague David Green. And David, you're at the Ballston Metro Station. That's in Arlington, Virginia, just outside Washington. Why Arlington?
Well, it's a good question, Renee. It's and it's really because what they've done in Arlington is pull off a true transformation. Post-World War II, this became a car-dependent place. Lots of people were driving. Over the last 20 years, they've brought in more people, new housing. They've brought in a ton of economic development, a lot of restaurants, a lot of bars and shopping. But they've actually been able to get traffic to go down because they've designed this whole system of getting people efficiently from here and into the city of Washington. And I want to bring in a voice here. His name is Jay Ricks.
There was very little reason to come here.
Ricks is a former board member in Arlington County. He's remembering this area outside the nation's capital back in the 1960s.
The community was pretty much frozen in time. It had an old movie theater, a little tavern hamburger stand, a pawn shop or two. People just went through it on their way to Washington.
At the time, the Washington area subway system was about to be built. It was going to bypass these Virginia suburbs above ground, running next to an interstate. But local planners came up with an ambitious alternative. They pushed to have the subway line run under a handful of Arlington neighborhoods, creating these mini downtowns around the stations above. And that decision in the 60s was risky and expensive, but it led to the vibrant neighborhoods that exist today. And now many people see good reason to come to Arlington. City planners from across China who came to Arlington to learn about what they've pulled off. So what have they pulled off? Well, in itself, communities built around a subway line that people use to commute into a city, not unique. What's different here is the metamorphosis from a downtrodden suburb where everyone drives to a place where people live, walk, bike, eat, play, and commute without having to use their cars. And that's the point of what they've created in Arlington, a community with the benefits of a suburb, more space, cleaner neighborhoods, but with restaurants and shopping easy to reach on foot, like in a city. Now, maybe you live in a place that's trying its own version of this, but the risk is these communities can become victims of their own success. Lynn Richards works for the Environmental Protection Agency, which gave Arlington a Smart Growth Award. Richards lives in Arlington and says as people have flocked here, housing prices have skyrocketed, and that could eventually undermine one of the main purposes, to change a community without increasing traffic.
If we can't provide housing for the people who work in the county at all different levels, folks are going to start driving in. And now we're going to have a parking problem. Now we're going to have more congestion. We're going to have more traffic because they're going to go farther out.
This is the end of the complete listening comprehension test.